Come sit with us at Berean Bible Fellowship. We're about to listen to Pastor Bruce David Bell as the Lord speaks through the truth of His Word. Come sit with us.
Over the years, man has constructed all kinds of buildings in an effort to honor and to worship God. And some of those buildings have been small and plain and simple, while others have been large and overwhelming in their appearance and lavish and impressive in their design. In fact, the most glorious place of worship that has ever been constructed was designed by God Himself. He was the designer and the architect of the temple that King Solomon built in Jerusalem, a place of worship, a building that was majestic. It was beautiful. It was made of hand-cut stones and timbers that were all overlaid with hammered gold. And it took 200,000 men 7.5 years to build that place of worship. But even when that building was completed, it was not really the dwelling place of God, as we are told in 1 Kings chapter 8, where it says that even though the glory of God filled that place, Solomon asked a question in verse 27, and he said, "Will God indeed dwell on the earth? Behold, the heaven, even the highest heaven, cannot contain him. How much less this house which I have built?" But still, that divinely designed structure was built to show the people that the glory of God could dwell in the midst of His people. God was there because the hearts of the people were there. They were looking to worship the Lord. Therefore, he continues in 1 Kings chapter 8, "May the Lord God be with us as he was with our fathers. May he not leave us or forsake us. May he incline our hearts to himself, to walk in his ways and to keep his commandments, so that the people on this earth may know that the Lord is God and there is no one else. Therefore," he says, "let your heart be completely devoted to the Lord our God to walk in his way." But the Lord also says in the next chapter of 1 Kings chapter 9, "If you turn away from following me, then this place of worship will become a heap of ruins." God is only in a place of worship if the people who are there are worshiping him in spirit and in truth, if they belong to Jesus Christ. And so they have the Spirit of God dwelling within them. So on Sunday morning, the Lord may not be in many places of worship, in many churches, because the people who are there do not belong to him. As we are told at the end of Isaiah chapter 57, where it says, "The High One, the Exalted One, the One who lives forever, whose name is holy, dwells in a high and a holy place." But it says, "He also dwells with the contrite of heart and with the lowly of spirit." to revive the spirit of the lowly and to give them comfort and peace. But the wicked, he says, those who reject me and who reject my word, even if they're in church on Sunday, they are like the tossing waves of the sea, which cannot be still, whose waters churn up refuse and mud. There is no peace for the wicked, even in church. There is no true worship. And as you may know, in 586 BC, the temple in Jerusalem that Solomon had built was destroyed by the Babylonians. Why? Because the people were no longer worshiping God. And in 70 AD, the temple that had been rebuilt was again destroyed. But this time by the Romans. Because the glory of God had left that place. It had departed from there. And I suppose that many of the people who were there didn't even know it. To them, it was just business as usual. How many today are in church? The glory of God is no longer there, but it is business as usual. Until it was too late. Until it was all gone. And like many places of worship today, the temple had become just another building. God's not impressed with buildings, even if he is the one who designed that building. Even if he is the one whose name is on that building. And perhaps this is a warning to us to consider today. And we see this truth articulated for us in Isaiah chapter 66, verses 1 and 2. A passage of scripture that was quoted in Acts chapter 7, verse 48 by a follower of Jesus Christ by the name of Stephen, as he was about to be stoned to death for speaking in the name of Jesus. As he stood before the leaders in the nation of Israel defending his faith in Christ. And as a part of his defense of the truth, he quoted from this Old Testament passage of scripture. He accused his accusers of blaspheming God. He accused them of blaspheming the law of Moses, of blaspheming the temple, and of rejecting their Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ, by having him put to death. They failed to see the hand of God the Father working through God the Son. Otherwise, he points out, you would not have crucified the Lord of glory. Just like their forefathers, they too were guilty of the sin of unbelief. They were guilty of the sin of disobedience. They were proud of themselves. They were proud of their temple, but their heart and their mind, and their spirit and their lives were far from the Lord. And they were making sacrifices in their temple in vain. Why? Well, because the Lamb of God had just been sacrificed for them on a cross. And they didn't even know it. So, thus says the Lord in verse 1 of Isaiah chapter 66. The Creator of the universe is not looking for an impressive building of stone. Heaven is my throne, he says, kiseh in Hebrew, the highest heaven, is my place of honor and of worship, where day and night angels worship at my feet. And the earth is my footstool, regev in Hebrew. It is the place where I rest my feet. As it says in Acts 7:48, the Most High God does not dwell in houses made with human hands. How can the God of glory be confined to a building? How can the skill of man adequately exalt him? A building is just that. It is a building. Where then, he continues in verse 1, is a house, bayith, a temple that you could build for me? And where is a place, makom, a home where I may rest? For my hand, he reminds us in verse 2, yad in Hebrew, my strength. By my strength, I made all of these things. So do not worship the building, worship the Lord. Because all of these things came into being by my power and by my might and by my strength, declares the Lord. True worship comes from a heart given to the Lord. No matter where we might be. We might be in a cathedral. We might be in a mud hut. We might even be on a hillside. But we will still be spiritually unclean if we are without Christ. So let go of your preconceived ideas of worship. And consider this, the Lord says in verse 2. Here is what I am looking for. Seems to me it's rather important to know what the Lord is looking for from us. And so he says this, the one to whom I will look with favor upon is the one who is humble. Ani in Hebrew, the one who is in mourning, the one who sees himself the way that God sees him. How does God see us? He sees us as sinners in need of his grace. He sees us as sinners in need of the sacrifice of Christ. Do not be deceived. Our church affiliation and our church attendance and our church activity will not save us. But the Lord says, I am looking for a heart of humility in which to dwell. One who is contrite of spirit, nacheh in Hebrew. One who is stricken, one who is broken with a sense of worthlessness without Christ. God finds a home in a heart that has been given to him in Christ, a heart that is submissive to him, a heart that is obedient to him, in holy fear, and in awe, the one who trembles at my word, he says, Harid. When's the last time we have trembled at his word? One who is careful not to disgrace the Lord. One who is terrified that he will not bring honor and glory to his name. God lives in hearts like that. in those who believe the truth, in those who love the truth, in those who live the truth. So we tremble. And at times, we fail, fall short of his standard. So we run to him to be comforted. We run to him to be forgiven. Forgiven by his grace in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Amen.
You've been listening to Bruce David Bell, pastor of Berean Bible Fellowship. If the Lord has ministered to you through this message and you would like more information, then visit us on the web at bbfva.org.